It's running now. You have to give it to.
Good afternoon. This is Morris Margulin. I'm interviewing tonight for the Jewish Community Center's Family History Project. The date is December the 10th, 1990. We have as our guest tonight Betty Abramson. Betty, will you be so kind to give us your name and address, please?
My name is Betty Tevis Wells Abramson. I live at 5100 Brownsboro Road, Louisville, Kentucky. My phone number is 426-5845.
Betty, will you please give us what your names of your parents, please, and where were they living at the time when they were in Louisville?
My father's name was Leslie Wells. My mother's name was Rose Myers Wells Frock. When I was very little, we lived on First Street at 1825 South First Street when I was a very little girl. Unfortunately, both my mother and my father have died. My mother and father were both born in Louisville, Kentucky. My father's mother was born in Louisville, Kentucky. As far as I know, let's start with my father's side of the family. My father's mother's name was Nettie Hoffman. She was born in Louisville, Kentucky. Her parents came to Louisville from Germany. Where in Germany, I don't know. My father's father came from New York City and married his parents, my great-grandparents on the Wells side, had a China store in New Albany, Indiana. My grandfather and grandmother Wells were married in Louisville, Kentucky. Her parents were both living here. As I said, she was born in Louisville, Kentucky, as were her two brothers. So it makes my grandchildren fifth generations to be born in the city of Louisville. I am a native Louisvillian and very proud of it. They were the German Jewish side of town, so to speak, my Reformed Jews. My mother's mother was a Burman. She was born in Russia. Her name was Sarah Berman. My mother's father was born in Russia, and his name was Benjamin Tevis or Tuvia Myers. He and my grandmother met in Louisville. My grandmother came when she was about 12 years old to visit a cousin in Baltimore, and then came to Louisville, Kentucky, where she had an older brother living. Her father was one, my grandmother Myers' father was one of four brothers who came from Russia to the United States. Ironically enough, two of the brothers came to Louisville and took the name Berman. Two of the brothers went to Baltimore and took the name Kirsch. Many of the descendants of the Berman families, all of the descendants are related, thus it became a very, very large family. My father was one of two sons. His brother moved out of town at a very early date. My father worked at the Liberty Bank in Louisville, Kentucky. He contracted tuberculosis when he was in the Navy in World War I. And he died of tuberculosis in 1937. My mother's family, who were the Burmans, my mother was one of seven children. She had an older sister, Yetta Myers. She was number two, Rose. She had a younger sister, Deanie Myers Atlas, another sister, Ruth Myers Cohen. Then there were three brothers. The oldest brother was Gerald Myers. He lived in Atlanta, Georgia. Lee Myers lived in Atlanta, Georgia. And Theodore Myers, who lives in Louisville, Kentucky. My mother's family evidently were always at the YMHA because mother used to talk about her going there and her sisters going there. Her brothers all played basketball for the YMHA teams. Their pictures are in the archives, my Uncle Gerald especially. My Deanie, there's a picture of her in the gymnasium with bloomers on, so to speak. There are lots of pictures of them in the archives. There's one of my grandmother sitting around with a bunch of ladies. They belonged to some type of club, and she had a hat on very properly. Mother said they used to come to the YMHA all the time because there were dances here. And she said they always knew they'd have a good time because there were so many boys in the Burman family, and they would always have their Burman cousins to dance with at the dances. They all talked with such joy about the YMHA, and evidently so much of their social life was involved with the YMHA. When we lived, the first home I remember living in was at 1825 South First Street, and we lived in a fourplex. We lived upstairs, and across the hall from us, Hattie and Bookie Grossman, who were cousins, lived, and their children. Now, I've got to explain that Hattie Grossman was a granddaughter of this Mr. Kirsch, who went to Baltimore, and so we were really all cousins because she was from the Kirsch family. We were from the Burman family. Downstairs, my grandmother Myers lived. My Aunt Yetta lived there, my Uncle Teddy lived there, my Uncle Lee lived there, and it was sort of like one great big happy family. Uncle Bookie started his business, Bookie Grossman, in the back of his car, which became, his business was Grossman Sales Company, and he used to take Rita Mae and me to school all the time and have to move his merchandise over, but he always brought home fireworks for the 4th of July, and Uncle Bookie and my daddy would go across the street because, God forbid, we could not touch the fireworks, and we would have our own private fireworks display that everybody in the neighborhood would come and watch. And it was like growing up with a lot of people in a home, a lot of love. My grandmother's home was where WAVE is now. She had a three-story house. And yes, they did live together. My Aunt Deanie and Uncle Lou, when they first got married, lived at my grandmother's. And the three boys had the upstairs dormitory, so to speak, Uncle Teddy and Uncle Gerald and Uncle Lee. I was surrounded with an awful lot of love in my family. I was born first, and 2 years later, my Aunt Ruth and Uncle Miles Cohen had a little girl who died when she was 4 years old and when I was five. And of these seven brothers and sisters, all the love that was for the two of us came to me. Her name was Barbara Tevis. My name is Betty Tevis. There was so much love in my family. Later on, my daddy got sick from the tuberculosis. He worked at the Liberty Bank and was unable to work, and he died when I was 11 years old. Where my grandmother lived, I said, was where WAVE is now, and I think it was like at Floyd and Broadway, and where she had this house. And then she later moved to 1825 South First Street. That is no longer there because it was across the street from where they built Halleck Hall School. And there's no longer a First Street out there. It becomes the University of Louisville campus. Rita Mae Grossman and I grew up together. We were cousins. We were friends. We're still cousins and very good friends. There was a little neighborhood grocery around the corner, and we walked to school. We went, if Uncle Bookie didn't take us. We went to Cochran School, which was at, I think, 2nd and Hill Street, and it was amazing going to Cochran School at that time. All of the very aristocratic non-Jewish families lived on 3rd Street, and my mother had a program of something I was in the second grade, and it's like reading Who's Who in the Society of Louisville, because from this beautiful section of South 3rd Street, they moved to Upper River Road, and the names who are Louisvillians were also at Cochran School. As I said, Halleck Hall was built. I got to walk to school, but I was treated like the perfect little angel and doll and protected. I had to be walked to school, and I remember it being very embarrassing, and I was so happy when the time came that I could walk those 3 blocks all by myself. I don't really know how I grew up. I grew up without having a mother that drove a car. My daddy drove a car, and it was really strange at that time, now that I think about it. We lived at 1st and Avery, and my daddy had a parking garage that was on Burnett Street, about Brook and Burnett. And I can remember as a little girl that my daddy would call up and ask for his car. They would bring it from Brook and Burnett to 1st and Avery. Then when we came home, he would go by and get somebody, and they would take us home, and they would take his car back to a garage at Brook and Burnett. Golly, that's way back in my memory. Also, the streetcars. The streetcar rode on 2nd Street, and I rode the streetcar. When Mother found I was old enough to go by myself, I remember the old YMHA, Elaine Brill and I were 2 fat little girls, and about the 2nd grade were sent to gym at the YMHA, and that gym looked so big to me, and I remember how exciting it was. One time it was a special day, and they had all the big people, the grown-up people. To us, we were maybe 7 or 8 years old, and there was some type of special pageant. And it's the first time I ever heard Hatikva. And we had to learn to sing Hatikva. And this, I don't know what they were celebrating or what it was, but it was very special. That in my memory, and Mr. Harry Cohen, who taught gym class. And I couldn't do a back bend, and I remember he put his arm under my back and said, do a back bend. And being the fat little girl that I was, I felt like I was breaking his arm. I remember we had a workout on the rings. That I could do well. I could do something called skin the cat, and I don't know how I did it, but I thought I was great. My uncles used to take me to see the basketball games, the basketball teams play, and we would sit up on a track. I remember that. My uncles were wonderful, and I know I talked about them a lot, but they even took me on dates. My Uncle Teddy had a date with somebody who lived on 3rd Street, and he took me along, and they went to the Aristo Theater, which was on 2nd and Galbert Street. And I remember there was Mr. Rosenberg, who was running for some type of office. And he was in government. I think it was Al Rosenberg. And his wife and was a real good friend of my mother's. And being an only child, my mother took me every place that she went. And there was no such thing as a sitter. And Al Rosenberg lived on the corner of 2nd and Galbert, which were the railroad tracks. And there was a mayor running for re-election. And in my mind, I can remember there were balconies on the front of this building. It was this, probably a sixplex, three stories high. And I can remember the mayor standing on the balcony and giving some type of speech for everybody to vote for him. And that was right across the street from the Aristo Theater. As I said, my daddy worked at the Liberty Bank, and I do have recollections of the crash because my daddy worked so hard and for long hours, and the men from the Liberty Bank, non-Jewish men, several of whom have since become president of the Liberty Bank. I think of the names right now, but they used to come out and they used to play cards at our house maybe once a month, and they would talk about the stock market crash, and I remember this would frighten me so, and the fact that my daddy worked so hard. And as I said, this goes back way far in my memory because we moved from First and Avery to Douglas Boulevard in June of 1935. And we moved into an apartment on Douglas that was owned by Ben Snyder. And I remember it so well. It was a very nice apartment, but unfortunately we only got to live there for 2 months because my father died in August. And Douglas Boulevard was where a lot of Jewish people lived because in your mind, and again the Brills come into play because I remember when my daddy died, my mother sent me down to the Brills' house, and they kept me till my mother got her composure back. My daddy had been quite sick and had not worked for some time. And when we got older, after my daddy died, we lived on Douglas Boulevard, and there were so many people who lived up and down Douglas Boulevard, Malcolm Fine, and the Brills, and the Rolfs, and the Levys. My cousin married Philip Levy. He and his sister Goldie and Isabel lived down the street. Everybody lived. Ben Snyder's daughter lived next door. I think her name was Evelyn Herman. And that was another pocket of Jewish families who lived on Douglas Boulevard. When we had been on Bonnycastle, there were a lot of Jewish families who lived in the Commodore. Then we moved on Bonnycastle with my aunt Dee Dee and Uncle Lou Atlas after my daddy died. And my cousin Belle Tevis was about 2 years old. And at that time, you took your relatives in, whether you had room or not. It was basically a one-bedroom apartment. And Aunt Dee and Uncle Lou had their bedroom. There was a living room. These were changeable rooms. They could be made into a bedroom or a den. They were maybe you would call large shotgun rooms. My mother and I had a bedroom. My little cousin Belle Tevis slept in with Aunt Dee Dee and Uncle Lou. There was a little sunroom, and my Aunt Dee Dee had a girl who lived on the place from Indiana. And all these memories go along with the flood because we lived in this apartment with Aunt Dee Dee and Uncle Lou on Bonnycastle. I think it was 2015 Bonnycastle, and it was a sixplex also. Frida and Bob Berman lived next door. I remember that. I do remember during the flood.
Excuse me, would you give the date of the flood?
The flood started, I was at Highland Junior High School, and it was on a Friday, January the 22nd, 1937. And I remember it so well because three of my very closest friends' birthday was January 22nd, and we were supposed to be going to a party that night. I still remember it very well because subsequently my son was born on January 22nd, so that date stays with me. But I remember after they let us out of school early, and everybody was sent home because it was raining, and my Uncle Lou had a liquor store at Shelby and Market. And on Sunday, Uncle Lou insisted on going down to the liquor store, and Aunt Dee Dee was very upset because she said, "You can't go. There's too much water. It's too much rain." He went anyway, and it seemed like hours later he came back. We were in touch with my grandmother and my Aunt Yetta and my Uncle Lee and Uncle Teddy, who lived on First Street. They came up to Bonnycastle, and we found places for them to stay. Aunt Ruth and Uncle Miles and their children came up to Bonnycastle, and there was just amazingly enough beds for everybody to sleep in. My problem was, being all of probably 12 years old, I remember for two solid weeks I didn't sleep in the same bed. Two nights in a row, I kept getting sent different places. I was sent over to my grandmother Wells, who lived on the corner of Eastern Parkway and Willow. One night, I was sent to my future husband, Shelley Abramson's house. I remember sleeping in a bed between Shelley's mother and his aunt. And this was in a double bed. I just remember so many things. Bardstown Road was full of people walking back and forth, and they sent the National Guards down from different cities, and they were patrolling Bardstown Road because we were high and no water came up. My Uncle Lee decided he was going to stay and help, and he didn't come up to Bonnycastle. And there was no way that he could reach us by telephone to let us know he was all right. But my Uncle Gerald lived in Cleveland, Ohio. So my Uncle Lee was able to call my Uncle Gerald in Cleveland, Ohio. Uncle Gerald called us on Bonnycastle to tell us Uncle Lee was fine. He was directing boats and traffic in boats in front of the Brown Hotel at 4th and Broadway. My Uncle Gerald, who lived in Cleveland, was listening to all of the reports of send a boat, and he knew where all the places were because he was from Louisville, and to him it was just terrible because this was coming over national radio. School was out for a long time. I remember going up to the Commodore. Everybody had to take typhoid shots, and they were dispensing them at the Commodore. These are all parts of my recollection. And then, of course, Mother went to help serve people. The Uptown Theater had refugees, and they went up to serve them, help serve them breakfast and lunch. And Highland Junior High School had refugees. I mean, the people that had no place to stay. And then I remember my mother and my Aunt Yetta Myers had a store at the corner of 4th and Jefferson called the Barbette Hosiery Shop. And it was only three blocks from the river, and they just thought it would be underwater. They made something that they called a pontoon bridge that led down, I think, Baxter or Barrett under the railroad crossing. The water came up to the top of the would that be called a viaduct?
Viaduct, right.
And the pontoon bridge went under that or over that, and they went down to check on the store. And even though 4th and Broadway was underwater, 4th and Jefferson was not. I mean, the store was very dry. But it was the stories that they told about going on the pontoon bridge. It was, people kept talking about this for years and years, and they are very, very strong in my memory, especially the National Guard with their various uniforms on Bardstown Road, and people walked up and down, and they had nothing to do and no place to go, no radios to listen to. We had no water. We had water for maybe an hour a day that you could fill a bathtub up and you had to boil the water to drink. We had no electricity. It was really a strange experience, and I'm sure it's been embellished along the way. Okay, then after the flood, I remember we moved on Eastern Parkway. It was 2111 Eastern Parkway, down by the flagpole. The flagpole has now been replaced with Daniel Boone. Daniel Boone used to be up in the park, and as it went up to, what was the name of the place at the top of the park, where Daniel Boone's statue originally was going as the fork in the road to Cherokee Park. This was the entrance to Cherokee Park. Beautiful park. I always felt like it was my backyard. And he was on the right side of the right road going up to Hogan's Fountain. And there was a flagpole. Eastern Parkway, we lived at the Parkway Terrace. And it was a tremendous building that was up on the hill. And I don't know how many apartments it had in it. A lot of young couples made it their first home. I was a young teenager then. Across the street, Mary Rothschild lived. Babette Frank Pearlstein lived. Lucy Block lived. Suzanne Rothstein lived up the street, and everybody sort of lived. That was another pocket. My grandmother lived up the street, my grandmother Wells. I went from Longfellow to Highland Junior High School to Atherton to University of Louisville. My whole life was regulated by the Eastern Parkway bus. Because, again, my mother didn't drive, and I rode the buses, and every place I went, we rode buses. And I remember the day that war, December 7th, 1941, some young men from Fort Knox, two young men, had wanted to meet me, and they came over on a Sunday afternoon, and they were sitting in our living room on Eastern Parkway, and we had the radio on, and they made the announcement, the infamous announcement that the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor, and it was quite a horrible thing. These men who were from Ohio, who were happened to be at my house that day, and it was quite vivid in my memory. That night there was to be a dance because I belonged to a sorority called Sigma Theta Pi, and December 7th was our Founders Day, and we had a dance at the old Henry Clay Hotel, and everybody went, but nobody wanted to go. But of course in their mind was the fact that Pearl Harbor, we didn't even know where Pearl Harbor was, had been bombed. One of the young men from Dayton who was at my house later on, I found out, had been killed in the Battle of the Bulge. We used to go to the YMHA to the dances for the soldiers when it was sorority night to go. We also would go down and help serve breakfast at the YMHA, and on Sunday morning brunch, perhaps. That is what I remember in my later life at the YMHA, the old one. During the war, there was a lack of male companionship, so to speak, because all the fellows went off to war. And I went to University of Louisville, and there was a group called V-12 Navy that was stationed there, and there were barracks that were built. I remember on the university campus, four barracks being built, and they were named after the four men who had graduated from Louisville who had been killed on December 7th. One was a Jewish man, I believe his name was Leopold. I don't know any more about him than that. My future husband, I had known quite a long time. We had our first date when he was 13, when I was 13 and he was 15. Our families knew each other so well that I called his parents, Aunt Ruth and Uncle Morris, and it became very hard for me to call them Mother Ruth and Dad. I started dating Shelley Abramson, who also... Shelley Abramson is the son of Morris and Ruth Abramson. Morris Abramson was born in Russia and came to Louisville, Kentucky. His father, Shelley always jokingly said his grandfather went back and forth across the ocean getting married and having families. I think he was married about three different times. And Shelley's daddy was born in Russia. And his father had come to Louisville, and he, before that, he had a family, part of whom went to England, some went to Canada, and some came to the United States. Shelley's grandfather went back to Russia, where my father-in-law was born, and his brother Sidney, and his brother Lester, and his sister Flora Abramson. And he came to Louisville very young, and I remember my father-in-law saying he went to work for Linker's Cigar Company, and evidently Linker's used to employ a lot of the young men to give them a start of employment. And he met his wife, my mother-in-law, whose name was Ruth Melman. Ruth Melman was born in Louisville, Kentucky also. Her parents went, after they lived in Louisville, they had come from, I think, Russia also. They came to Louisville, why, I don't know. They went to Charleston, West Virginia, but still had contact with Louisville. As I said, my mother-in-law was born here. She and my father-in-law, her name was Ruth Melman. She and my father-in-law, Morris Abramson, were married. They were married, and my father-in-law had a business in Taylorsville, Kentucky. They moved to Taylorsville, Kentucky, and had three sons, Ernest Abramson, Shelley Abramson, and Alan Abramson. When it came time for their sons to go to Hebrew school, my father-in-law and mother-in-law decided they would no longer live in Taylorsville, and they moved into Louisville so that their sons could have their Jewish education. They moved on Rutherford Avenue, where they lived, and my father-in-law commuted back and forth. He lived out in Taylorsville all week and came in on the weekends. And this was what he did so his sons could have their Jewish education. They went to the Hebrew school. They went to Belknap School. They went to Highland Junior High School. They all went to Male High School. Shelley had one goal in life, and that was to be a pilot. He was quite a guy. He and Alan and Ernie were all born in Louisville. And Shelley had four hobbies. I think the first hobby was knives. The second hobby was guns. The third hobby was motorcycles. And the fourth hobby was airplanes. How my mother-in-law ever survived, I don't know. She was quite a wonderful woman. Her older son, Ernie, wanted to be an actor. He went into summer stock up in New England. He was in some of the plays in the little theater at the University of Louisville. Her younger son, Alan, wanted to be a radio announcer. That's fine, too. But then there was Shelley. Shelley and I had our first date. We were about 13 years old, and we went to a youth group dance at Knesset Israel. Shelley was too young to drive, and we tripled. We went with Sammy Goldstein and Eli Jaffe and their dates, and that was our first date. I was 13 and Shelley was 15. We dated off and on, very platonically. Shelley joined the service. He had to make up his mind whether to be drafted or to go in as what they call a 90-hour wonder. He went in. He had flown for the government because he was the youngest pilot in the state of Kentucky. He lived at Bowman Field in the summer, worked at Bowman Field so he could take flying lessons. He went into the Army with a direct commission, and as I said, it as a 90-hour wonder. His 90 hours consisted of buying a book, an officer's manual, reading it, buying a uniform, and being commissioned a second lieutenant in the Army Air Force. He went into the Air Transport Command, and he went overseas, flew airplanes, unarmed airplanes, into war zones, back and forth, 13 times. The last time, he was stationed in Africa and India, and was gone for about 13 months. We had decided that we were in love and we were going to get married right before he went over the last time. He came back to Louisville in March of 1945. We got married April 12, 1945, right before we were ready to march down the aisle and get married. We were married at the terrace room of the Kentucky Hotel by Rabbi Jacob Gittleman and by Rabbi Rabbi Brilliant from Knesset Israel. Now, this was quite confusing because I had gone through Addis Israel, Reform, and Shelley had gone to Knesset Israel, which was Orthodox, and my mother's family had gone to Addis Shurin, which was conservative. We couldn't have four rabbis marry us, so we had to make a compromise, and I think I wanted Rabbi Gittleman because he had married my mother and father. Shelley, right as we were getting ready to get married, somebody knocked on the door and said the president had just died. President Franklin Roosevelt died April 12, 1945. And, of course, I heard it, but I didn't hear it. My mother was a wreck because you couldn't buy any wine, and my Uncle Lou Atlas had forgotten to bring the wine. Everybody was very frustrated that night anyway. So, and the harpist wasn't playing the proper music, and the president died, and Shelley and I just wanted to get married. So, Shelley was still in the Air Force. He was sent to Memphis, Tennessee, which was the headquarters of the Air Transport Command, and then he was sent to Little Rock, Arkansas. VE Day the war was over in Europe, I believe, in May. Then the atomic bomb was dropped in August. And VJ Day, I believe, was in August. Shelley was out of town on what was known as the cross country. And I came home, and ironically, I was in Louisville on VJ Day. And I remember going downtown Louisville, and it was very exciting, and people were all over the place. I remember before we went downtown, though, we went to services. We went to Ad Assurance to services. And people all over of all denominations were in synagogues and churches, say prayers, thank God the war was over. And Shelley and I came back to Louisville September the 2nd, 1945. And we moved into, we were very lucky that Louis Waterman owned an apartment building, and we got the first available apartment. And our son Leslie was born January 22nd, and Louis' apartment became filled with his relatives who had gotten married, his daughter Evelyn Waterman and Billy Simon moved in there. We have been friends for all these years. I always said that if our grandchildren were friends, and they're born close together, it would be fifth generation of very close friends. My grandmother and Evelyn's grandmother, my mother and Evelyn's mother, Billy's mother, Evelyn and Billy and Shelley and I, our children, Freddie and Susan were almost born on the same day. Leslie and Fred are real good friends. Les was in Fred and Robin Margulin's wedding. And their daughter, Abby, is, I think, about 6 weeks younger than our granddaughter, our grandson, excuse me, Jamie. Also in that building, Martha and David Miller lived, Ruby and Ruby Tasman, Irving Tasman, Donald Tostein, who was another relative, Helen and Sylvan Hyman lived in that building, Lawrence Cook, who had been connected with the YMHA, and his parents lived in that building. Mr. and Mrs. Handmaker lived in that building. Mrs. Handmaker lived downstairs and used to cook, and these wonderful odors, aromas would come up. There were two maiden ladies who lived upstairs from us, whose name was Goodman. Their brother was Dr. Goodman, who was quite famous and well-known in Louisville. His son is Joe Goodman, who was the athletic director at the Jewish Community Center. We had quite a little community. It was 18 apartments, and we had a wonderful time. We were all newlyweds. Shelley and I left there and moved to McCoy Way, 2620. And again, we had friends, and very good friends and neighbors. Lois and C.D. Barron lived across the street at 2621 McCoy Way. Shirley and Jack Bach lived at 2625 McCoy Way. Reba and Joe Rosenberg lived at 2624 McCoy Way. It was a wonderful place to raise your children when you knew that if you weren't there, one of your very close friends would always be there. We subsequently had Leslie, who was born January the 22nd, 1946. My son Les is a professor of law at the University of Louisville and is married to an attorney, Lisa, and they have three sons, Samuel Morris, Shelton Lawrence, and William Trice. Our daughter Susan was born November 15th, 1949. Susan is married to Joseph Lancaster. They have three sons, Benjamin Ryan, who is 10. Anthony Robert, who is 9. And Jeffrey Ransdell, who is 8. Susan is a teacher in Jefferson County School System, Middle School. She's an excellent teacher. We are very proud of her. She has 2 master's degrees, has just been chosen as the Middle School Teacher of the Year by the Jefferson County Public School Administration, received the Golden Globe Award. Lots of wonderful things. Our youngest daughter, Wendy, is married to Paul Gasser from Owensboro, Kentucky. They have 3 children. Kimberly, our little girl who is 5, Jonathan, who is 2, and our newest little addition, Michael, who is 3.5 months old. If you count these all up, it means that Shelley and I are blessed with 9 grandchildren, the oldest of whom is 10, and the youngest of whom is 3.5 months. Shelley and I lived a beautiful and wonderful life. We loved each other. We traveled extensively. We had everything in the world. My husband loved to fly. Flying was very good to us. We took wonderful vacations, and we got to go to a lot of places. Unfortunately, it also took my husband away from me on July 30th of 1985. Shelley was killed in an airplane crash. We were married 40 years. We loved each other. We had much happiness. I only wish that he were here to appreciate everything that has happened in these last 5 years. I think that's probably all I've got to say right now.
Betty, thank you very much for this pleasant, informative interview. It's been a very interesting recording session. This is Morris Margolin signing off for the JCC's Family History Project.